Job 42, well now we're at the very end and Job has come to where God wanted him to get. And I want to focus on just one of the wonderful things that is said here, verse 5. He said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And the idea is, I think, that he knew a lot of things about God, but it was through his experiences that he came to translate them actually into reality. This is the difference between knowing things about God and actually believing them. And the Hebrew and Greek words for belief really mean to trust. That's a totally different thing. You can know things about God without actually believing them to be true for little me. And I think that when folks come up to be baptized, they're very often given some sort of interview, and in many groups, it is really a doctrinal checklist. Go through this, that, the other, what's your take on the Trinity, on the Lord's pre-existence or not, or whatever it might be. And the person gives the answers that are thought to be correct, and at the end of it, there's a handshake or whatever, and well done, yep, on Sunday we'll do the baptism. I'm not per se saying that is a wrong thing to do, but the difficulty with that approach is that the person is actually assenting on an intellectual level to things that they know, and that is called a statement of faith, a confession of faith, when it is actually a confession of understanding. And so it is, so it was with me when I was baptized, not that I was actually asked those kind of questions, but all the same, it was a confession of understanding to some degree. And it is only through life experience that what I heard by the hearing of the ear, now I see to be wonderfully true for me. And this is really how God is working in our lives. But let's step back from verse 5 to verse 2. Job says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be restrained. Well, actually, in Job 10, verse 13, he has said this. In the Septuagint, he says there, I know that you can do all things, for nothing is impossible with you. And now he says the same, but the point is, he's quoting his earlier words when he's hit out of left field with all these crises in his life. And he says, oh yeah, sure, God's all-powerful, God can do all things, nothing's impossible with you. And now he says it at the end, with the comment in verse 5 that I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And so, for example, on this matter of God is all-powerful, we can so easily say, oh sure, yeah, God's all-powerful, oh yeah, nothing impossible with God. But it is not until you really are left with your back to the world and your back against a wall that you really do understand that, when you see that God came through for you in a way that only God can. And so, verse 3, you asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? And here Job is quoting from God's accusation against him in Job 38. And he says, therefore I have uttered that which I did not understand. And I think that what he's saying when he says, I have spoken what I didn't understand, is saying that, yeah, I said, for example, earlier I said, I know that God can do all things and that nothing is impossible with him. But I spoke that which I did not understand. And it is this personal understanding beyond an intellectual comprehension, for example, that God is all-powerful, which is, I think, the whole purpose of God's hand in human life. Now, he then says, I spoke things that were too wonderful for me, which I didn't know. So he's saying that I spoke these wonderful things, but they actually were not known by me. And there you see the Hebraic understanding of knowing, which is to have a relationship with. You know, a man knows a woman and they have a child in the Hebrew Bible, and the idea is not that they go out for coffee together. The idea is that they have a relationship. They know in the experiential sense each other. And so he's saying, yes, I knew these things, but they were too wonderful for me. And I actually didn't know them. I knew them, on the technical level, but not actually by personal conviction and experience. And so he says, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Let's just put the emphasis on the word now. But now my eye sees you. Well, in Job 19, verse 26, he has said that there is a day coming at the last day when with my eye I shall see God. He says, though, after this life is over, worms are going to eat my flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and my eye shall behold him and not another. So he looks forward to the day of absolutely personal relationship with God at the last day, at the resurrection of the body, which is what he clearly believed in. He didn't believe in an immortal soul going to heaven as soon as he was dead. He believed in the resurrection of the body at the last day and actually seeing God. And he understands that as something totally personal, a relationship between God and himself that nobody else can enter into, because he says, I shall see him for myself and not another. And so now he says, well, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. It's not all jam tomorrow. It's not all simply at the resurrection of the body. I'm seeing you now. And don't forget that the idea of seeing God was absolutely shocking in the context in which he lived. I mean, God is very clear to Moses that you cannot see my face and live. And yet he's coming to see that actually you can have that relationship with God now. Of course, it shall be far fuller at the Lord's return. But you can have that now. You can have that seeing of God now. Now my eye sees you. Now in this life. And so this, I think, is a sign of maturity where you are not so totally, solely focused upon the future aspect of God's kingdom, but you see it now as well. When you look at John's gospel, you see that this is clearly a reflection of, shall we say, maturer thought and than the others that are more sort of pedestrian and recording sort of facts that happened. John's gospel is more of interpretation, and he records how the Lord said several times that you can have eternal life now, and yet we shall all die. And we don't have an immortal soul that goes on living after we're dead, so what does he mean by this continued emphasis on having eternal life now? I think the idea is that you can now live the kind of life which you will eternally live. You can live the kingdom life now. And that he realizes this when he says that I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. So I think that there are steps upwards in our conversion. For example, the Lord says to Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. And of course he could have said, well, I am converted, Lord. And there are a number of steps up the ladder. It took Peter to go through his denials and then his meeting of the Lord by the charcoal fire after the Lord's resurrection, just as he had stood by a charcoal fire and three times denied the Lord. So the Lord stands with him by a charcoal fire and three times tells him to go and care for my sheep. So that clearly was the same as, when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. He's being told, go and care for my sheep. Strengthen your brothers. My sheep are your brothers. That's the idea. And so you see with Peter how there were steps up the ladder of conversion. And so it is with each of us. And this is, I think, the myth of the idea that, you know, I came to Christ on such and such a point, at such and such a moment, and I was baptized on such and such a moment, and I accepted the truth at that point. That is all true so far as it goes, but you've got to be careful that you don't get caught up in a sort of an absolute truth claim sort of mentality whereby you think, well, I am there. I have got this academic truth that I have searched for, discarded bunk theology, come to the truth, and that's it. and in a self-congratulatory way just think, well, I just got to keep hold of my intellectual purity of understanding. That may never be specifically stated, but it is implicit, I think. It is the unspoken message that comes out of many small-time Protestant groups. And I'm not at all decrying the need for true doctrine or true understanding and rejection of that which is false. But if that is all there is in your life, if that is your sole perception, I'm afraid you're missing out on the entire journey, because that academic truth of itself won't save you. It's got to be converted into, as it were, cash value. And this is what Job means when he said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you.